Father, we are so blessed to be able to hear your words this morning, that we are confident and that we know beyond a doubt that you have planted in Pastor Shannon's heart for us this morning. Mm. And Lord, as she brings us her message this morning, I pray that you would implant it deeply in our hearts. Mm. Be with her now. Hold her up. We pray that you would just fill her with the Holy Spirit as she talks to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Things. Well, folks, last week we started venturing into the book of Ephesians. How many of you love the book of Ephesians? It's a good book. Well, there's 66 of them that are pretty good in the Bible, but I love Ephesians. Actually, one of my favorite books is Romans, and then I really like Ephesians. Colossians is good, and so is Philippians and Galatians. Any of the Gospels are worth reading. The book of Acts, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the whole Bible. Revelation, Hebrews, I mean, let's face it, you get in there is just nothing but wonderful things, especially in the New Testament, full of good news. It's a feast. That's right. It's a feast. And so last week we looked at the first three chapters of Ephesians. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not putting up all the scriptures for you. How many of you own a Bible? And if you don't and you want one, we know where to get it. And I'm going to say, get in there and dig into that treasure. Go treasure hunting, because there's so much good in there to find. So, again, from verse 6, we know that through Jesus we have all things, through Jesus, the one he loves. So we looked last week at Ephesians, like I said, 1 and 3. We started with, what's in your wallet? Now, if some of you may not remember this ad. The Viking has nothing to do with anything other than it was in their ad. This was for some bank or whatever. But this is what I asked you, what's in your spiritual wallet? And as we look through Ephesians 1 all the way to chapter 3, we find out what's in our spiritual wallet. Now, we're going to do a review of it this way, guys. What's in your wallet? What are things we find in people's wallet? Give me one item at a time.
Money.
We got cash. Are we wealthy in the Lord?
Yes.
Okay. What's another thing you find?
ID.
Got an ID. Do we have a new identity?
Yes.
We have a new identity in the Lord. Okay. What else might you find?
I
heard a health card. Hi, a health card. Driver's license, I'm going to call ID, okay? Okay, we have health card. Do we have health in the name of the Lord? Through Jesus, through his stripes, are we healed?
Yes.
Amen. We're standing on the promises of God. Okay, credit card. Did I hear credit card? Have you got one of Daddy's credit cards? Papa's credit cards? We do. We have all things pertaining to life and righteousness. There's unlimited in the spiritual things of God. He says he's given us all things pertaining to life and righteousness. No limit, right? We got Daddy's credit card, better than anything you'll find here on earth, I'll tell you that. And anybody got some receipts? Meaning you've purchased, it's paid for? Are you purchased and paid for? Hey, what's in your spiritual wallet, guys? How about an appointment card? Anybody got an appointment card? Going to go see the doctor, the dentist, or something on this day? Do you know you have an appointment with the Lord? And you can have an appointment anytime, any day? Meet with him. And then there's an appointed time where we're going to get to see him face to face. Praise God. And we'll be dancing in the streets of gold. Right? Amen. We've got good things happening. So again, I'm going to say to you, if you want to know how to share the good news of Jesus, all you have to do is pull out your wallet and look at it and remind yourself and remind whoever you're sharing. You've got a great way to share the good news of Jesus, right? Hey, I've got a new identity. Hey, I've got Papa's credit. Hey, I've got a receipt saying that I'm paid for in full, that my sins are gone. Amen? Pull out your wallet. So we looked at what we have, what Jesus has for us. And one of the things that we look at when we go through Ephesians is just remember, all of it points to our Lord and Savior Jesus. We have what we have because of him. It's nothing that we've done, nothing that we can do. It's all what he has done, and it's a finished work, and we just get to receive it. We get to receive it. So today, we're going to talk about the first W was what? Wealth. The second W is, what does that look like?
Walking.
The walk. We're walking on sunshine. How many remember that song? Katrina and the Waves. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa. Well, we're walking in sunshine, capital S-O-N. We're walking in him as one. We're a new creation. We've got something new. Your wallet shows what's in you. And I'm going to read to you, when we talk, so first of all, let me put it this way. When we talk about the three W's of Ephesians, and today as we look, part two, the walk, one of the things that we ended with last week is recognizing we're a part of the family of God. And in the family of God is both Jew and Gentile. They become one. There's no recognition of Jew and Gentile. We are one new creation in Christ. We have become one. There is unity in the body, or there should be. But that's part of the thing. That's part of the next step, and that is we want to be maturing in the Lord. Oneness and unity comes in maturity as we mature in the Lord. So let's turn to Ephesians 4, verse 1. Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life, listen to this word, worthy of the calling you have received. Okay. Worthy. We've been called to something, and we need to walk in it. How many of you are thankful for all that Jesus did? How many of you know that you're now part of this family? I believe you have ID cards. And there's a way to walk in this family. Well, let's take a look at this family. Oops, again, this is where we're going today, from Ephesians 4 to Ephesians 6, 9, okay? And we're going to get there. But I'm not reading it all to you. Who's going to read it? You are. That's right. So let's, again, we looked at these folks last week. Who are they? And what are they doing? The royal family does walk. When they go out and see people, they do what they call a walkabout, where they greet and meet the people. They walk. And there's a certain expectation we have from the royal family. Now, are they perfect? Oh, in heavens, we're finding out more and more how much like us they really are. But the truth is, there's still royalty. And is there not an expectation upon them to walk and behave a certain way? Absolutely. Are we royalty? We're royalty of the, it says we are royal, a royal priesthood. We are part of the family of God. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there is an expectation, if I could put in that, as believers to start walking in the truth of who we are. Now, I can call it an expectation, but truthfully, it's responsibility. Part of maturing comes with responsibility. You know, as your when your kids are little, there's certain things that they do, and eventually you give them some responsibility. They have to learn how to put on their clothes for themselves. And they have to, we did this a while back, learn how to brush their teeth and all of those kinds of things. And then eventually they become old enough where you can assign them things to do. And as part of the family, it's their responsibility to do it. It's part of them maturing. Well, it's no different for us as believers. And Paul gives us this challenge. Start maturing, start walking in maturity. Start walking in the responsibility, if I can put it that way, of being believers. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, we're going to get there. Can you stick with me for a few minutes before we get there? Okay, are you? Okay, good, sorry. I'm not here. I'm lost it a little bit. So one of the things that in a family comes privilege. We talked about it. We have privileges. But we can be lazy in those privileges. And we call the people that, you know, just expect everything, take everything for granted. We call them, kind of spoilt brats or divas. I don't know what the male version of that, playboys, I don't know, you know, where they kind of, everything's about me and I just do it for me and it doesn't matter. You know, we don't understand the preciousness of the family that we're in. We just kind of take everything for granted. And as believers in Jesus, we don't want to ever be in that place. But let me tell you, how many of us can honestly say and maybe know that they themselves have been a believer like that, just kind of taking things from God for granted? But as children of God, we want to live as holy people, holy and righteous. We want to walk the talk, and we want to talk the truth. So, what does it look like? Well, let's start with one of the things Jesus said. He commanded us something. These are my commandments. That and who first? Love God, love one another, love your neighbors as yourself. So there's three in there: God, your neighbors, and yourself. And in that order. In other words, speaking about putting things above. Paul goes on to say, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Ain't that hard to do? Some days, bearing with one another in love. Some days it's just hard. But who do we have dwelling in us? Who is our seal, of our guarantee? The Holy Spirit, and he empowers us to walk that way. How many of you have ever gone to the foot of the cross and had to lay down things, knowing at the foot of the cross what has already taken place, I'm remembering, Lord, this frustration I have with brother or sister or whatever, so and so, I'm laying it at the foot of the cross, recognizing you took care of it. I'm free from this. I can walk in love towards them, accepting them for who they are created to be. They are created to be like you. And maybe they're not walking that way, and maybe right now I'm not walking that way, but I'm going to. I'm going to walk in love towards them, seeing them above me. And I don't mean better than me, but saying I'm willing to lay down my stuff for them. Let's read on a little further. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Then he goes on to say, there is one body, one Spirit, capital S, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. We are one. We are one body. And part of maturity and part of the walk is recognizing I'm not separate from the others. I'm a part of this body, whether I like the look of the toenail over there or not. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, rich or poor, male or female, slave or free. We are all one in Christ. One body of which he is the head. Aren't you glad he's the head? Amen. Praise God. He is. And so we've been unified by the Holy Spirit, by this one Spirit. In one Lord. We have one Lord in God. We have one faith. It's in Jesus Christ. You know, I've heard many times it spoken, all faiths will lead to heaven. It's not true. It's a lie, and it's a lie of the enemy. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So I don't care whatever you want to call anything else and try. And I'm talking in Christian fellowships, there's been that. And it's like, that's not true. Jesus is the only way. But I'll give you this. He will go down any path to get and bring out those who are earnestly seeking. So one of the things we want to look at is the idea of we are one body of believers unified together. And I want you to understand something. Let's see if we can get this to come up there. That we are one body. We're a new body. We are the new body of Jesus Christ, of which he's the head. And again, I've already read this. We're unified by one spirit. I don't know if you can read it up there. It may not be as good as it is on my screen. So we have this oneness in God. This one family. This is the desire of Papa God. Have this one big family, one body, with his son being the head. And then he talks about being in unity. And one of the things we hit, and we're going to start this way with kind of the negative. Unity, which is not the same as uniformity. Okay? It is not the same. Unity is the state of being joined together or in agreement. We've been joined together and we're in agreement. Uniformity is the quality or fact of being the same or not changing or being different in any way. That is not who we are. Each of us is an individual created in the image of God. So we are in unity, but we're not the same. We don't dress the same. We don't, do everything the same. We're different. And praise God. Aren't you glad that Corinthians talks about the body of Christ, and he says, aren't an eye or an ear or a, you know? We need the variety. I think you're happy that your body has variety. If we're all feet, can you imagine using your hand, having feet on your hands and feet on, God created us to be different, to work together in unity. And so, again, this is a step into a walking in the maturity that we have in Christ. Different kinds of people are in the church. The church, God's big family, has different kinds of people, but we're all one body. Straightforward and simple. So here's what Paul says in Ephesians 4:11 through 13. There's about the differences. There are prophets. Well, let me just go there and read it. We're going to verse 11. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So not all of us are apostles, not all of us are teachers, not all of us are pastors and evangelists. Some are given that office. Now, there's the office of, but there's also, can anyone prophesy? Yes. Yeah. Can anybody evangelize? Yes. Can anybody teach? Can anybody teach or preach? Yes. And I'm going to say this, it's hard for you to be an apostle, but you could be without being in the office of. What I'm saying is there are times that the Lord will use us, but there are people called to the office. I've been called to the office of pastor. Guess what my identity is? Child of God. This is merely the office I've been called to. It's how he uses me to minister. And you are a child of God, and he's going to use you to minister to people through your gifts, your talents, and how he calls and directs you. I love this. We're here to equip people for the work of the service so that the body, who does the service? The body. How long have you sat in churches where the body expects the pastor and all the elders and that to do the work? It's not what we're called to do. Not that we don't do the work. You're called to it. And if you get up and leave church today and don't do anything about it all week and come back next week, you've got some maturing to do. Okay, doesn't mean you're not a believer, but you've got some maturing to do. So here's what happens when those of us who are called to our offices step into our offices and do this. We equip the people. You get equipped to do the work. How many of you are part of a home group? Man, we had a lot of people come on Thursday. You get equipped there because there's teaching that goes on. Those of you who are here Sunday morning, you can get some equipping. You get involved. How many of you got involved with the cupboard? And you're serving down there, and you're ministering to people, and you're praying for them, and you're doing that. How many of you here, well, not all, I know there's a few of you here, are teaching our children, right? Stepping into the things God's called you to do the work of the ministry. Okay. And then it says this, so we do this, we keep building you up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. And when we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Think about Jesus walking the earth. The wholeness of how he walked for this earth. Did he love? He loved unconditionally. Did he heal? Did he preach the good word? Did he preach the truth? Yes. Did he challenge the religious?
Yes.
Did he bless the poor sinner?
Yes.
Yeah. Did he take the children onto his lap?
Yes.
Did he invite them all? And then he did something incredible. He laid his life down. He laid his life down. We've been listening with the children all summer long about the miracles of Jesus. And then the greatest one is where he lays his life down for us, sheds his blood for us, the innocent for the guilty. The innocent for the guilty. I'm going to get sidetracked here if I don't stay. Take a glance at my notes. We are empowered by one Holy Spirit to use our gifts, our talents, and passions to serve each other, to build up the church, the people. And so bless you folks who are online, but I'm going to say this. When we gather together, and I'm praying into this and have for years, there's some ministry that needs to happen here. There are some things that need to start happening here. You need to go and lay hands and see the sick recovered. You need to stand up and share a prophetic word to build up and encourage the church. And we've been afraid to do it. And maybe we haven't always given opportunity, but this is what the Lord has for his believers. To encourage one another. To build us up. Okay, I'm going to keep going here. So you are a part of a royal family, a royal priesthood. You have a new identity. You have family privilege and you have family responsibility and expectation in the family, if I can put it that way. And I'm not sure, Rebecca, there we go. I don't know if you can see that. Does anybody recognize what's there? It's a little blurry. It's somebody begging. Somebody begging. Are you a beggar? Then why do you live with one? It's not who you are. Don't live as one. You are royalty with the privilege of loyalty. And so what happens is we start, when we think of ourselves and see ourselves like this, can you move forward or are you thinking you have to beg? What happened when you gave your heart to Jesus? Yeah, the old died and the new came. So we go to Ephesians again, or chapter 4, verse 17. Let me read this to you. So I tell you this, that and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Okay, don't live in that worldly thinking. In the futile a futility, pardon me, of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance. That is in them due to the hardness of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity. Anybody ever got calluses? It become insensitive. And what do you do? Do you find you're kind of trying to pick, because you're looking for the sensitivity, maybe trying to work away, trying to find a way to feel more? Sorry, I know guitar players, bless you for giving up the sensitivity of the end of your fingertips for that. But the truth is we're looking for it. You get a blister and you kind of want to pop the blister and get it because we're looking for the sensitivity. And that's what happens when the world, when people get hardened in their hearts by seeking the things of the world, they lose the sensitivity. They become calloused and they start looking to feel some way. And so what do they give themselves over to? It says it gives themselves over to sensuality and indulging in every kind of impurity. They are full of greed. However, that's not how the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ or taught about him in accordance with the truth in Jesus. And it goes on, and I won't spread out. You know you got out of that. You know you got out of that. Down a little further, Paul starts talking about you have been made, you were taught in regarding to your former way of life to put it off. Put off your old self. It's being corrupted. It's deceitful desires. And you've been made new. You have to be made new where? Attitude of your mind. Again, if your attitude is still, I'm a beggar, you got to get that. You got to tune into what the Holy Spirit is showing you. You got to look at what's in your spiritual wallet. You got to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You got to get rid of the beggar clothes. It's not your outfit. You get to dress in fine linen given to you by the bridegroom himself, Jesus. Okay. So, whoops, let me go back a bit. Here's how we do this. This is what Paul has told us. This is from verse 25 all the way to chapter 5, verse 18. The old humanity, the self and the selfish. We just need to recognize that that's what we're taking off or it's been taken off. And we need to look at what is the new humanity, the God-likeness that we put on. First, we've got to get rid of lying and start telling the truth. Wow. That can be a challenge. How many of you kind of bend the truth a tiny bit sometimes? Or we call it bend the truth. Truthfully, it's a lie. How about anger? We're supposed to be replacing it with peaceful resolve. You got to steal? Thief? Now you're going to be generous, giving. That's godlike. How about gossip and slander? Oh, stop meddling. Don't meddle in my life that way. Come on, I got to have a little fun. We're supposed to be speaking encouraging words. Words that build up, words that encourage, speaking the truth. Revenge. Yeah, revenge. Vengeance is mine, say Lord. We forgive. Rage, fighting, and malice. With kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. Sorry, it says forgiving. Same thing, but forgiveness. We're turning in the sexual immorality and all those fleshly impulses to self-control, which comes as a fruit of the Spirit. You see, we walk all of this not in our own strength, but in the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit who is given us. Oh, man. Impurity. Man, what is that? Well, just about anything that... those that live impure, you know, those that want to get involved in witchcraft, those that want to get involved in horoscopes, those that want to get involved in all kinds of, well, we can go sexual or just things that are against, we can, all kinds of things. I mean, I can make a list of, on that, but so can you. But we replace it with morality, the way God intended us to be. Oh, the greed. Man, greed creates a pile of sin. But we're supposed to be self-sacrificing. Take up your cross daily. There's obscenity, foolish talking, or coarse joking. It's not to be in the mouth of those of us who have a new life, who put it off, to put on. What our words should be is full of thanksgiving. Unwise. How many of you have ever done an unwise thing and know you've did it? Well, we can ask for wisdom, and God gives without limits. We just have to believe. How about just plain old drunkenness? Being drunk on wine, on all that kind of stuff. It's interesting what the word says, be filled under the influence of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Paul goes on to say this in chapter 5, 19 to 21. It's about singing together. It's about singing to God. It's about giving thanks to God. And it's about submitting to one another. It is a totally different way of life than the way we could say the Gentiles or the world lives. So we can put off all of this stuff in the black and put on all of the stuff that's in the yellow or the light. That was my attempt at that. It's a wonderful thing that we've been given. Now I'm going to talk. We're going to quickly move to the last little bit here. It's instructions to the Christian household. And we're going to start by reading from verse 25. I want to jump all the way over there. Verse 25, and it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word and presenting her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. Okay, let's just look at how Jesus treats us, his bride. Is he selfish? Did he lay down his life for us? Did he do everything for us? Was he honoring us? Did he submit himself to us? Yeah, he did. Paul started this just before that saying, submit yourself to one another. And then we see this image of Jesus and how he treats us. Now let's jump back to verse 22, the one every woman hates to hear, but it's in the word. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He's his body of which he is Savior. Now the church as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Oh, how do we deal with that? I'm going to talk to you ladies for a minute here. Guys, you can listen in if you want. As a follower of Jesus, out of reverence for Jesus, you are called to respect your husband, and now listen to this, and allow him to become responsible for you, just like Christ is over the church. And why? Why would we do it? Because you are allowing him to become Christ-like in his responsibilities, being giving him place to lay down his selfish agendas and to prioritize you and your well-being above his own. Don't get too freaked out, guys. But listen to what it says. You're allowing them to become by submitting to them. And when we don't, it's a little bit like usurping. We want to allow them to become all God. And who does the work in them? Holy Spirit. But if you're working against the Holy Spirit or trying to take control of the Holy Spirit and make them into being, you're fighting a futile battle. And isn't it better to let the Spirit move in them and let them become what God intended them to be? He intended them to be. And let's move on to what it says. Verse 25, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy. Now, that again is talking about you don't make your wife holy. Jesus does. But you love her like Christ loves her. In the same way, verse 28, husbands ought to lay, it's the same way as we see Jesus. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one has ever hated their own body, but feeds it and cares for that their body as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man leaves his father and a mother, grows up, becomes mature and responsible. And he unites himself to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Now, remember, we're thinking about Christ as well. We've been made one flesh with him. And we, as husbands and wives, I'm not going to point to me because I'm not married, but you guys know, as husbands and wives, you are called to do this because you are a visual image in the church or in the world of the love Christ has for the church. How have we been doing? I think we've had it kind of gotten some messed up stuff. But you are a representation of the love of Christ. Now again, who helps you do this? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. So wives, you should be praying for the Holy Spirit thanking him for your husbands and blessing them. And husbands, you need to be doing the same. And I tell you what, husbands, how many of you are taking time to read the Word of God with your wife? Speaking it over her. It's your job. It's your responsibility, if you do as Christ did, to come together as one flesh. Now, if I've ruffled your feathers, have a talk to the Holy Spirit and the Lord, because it's his word, not mine. Husbands, it's a hard call to lay down selfishness. This has not been a world for the last, I'm going to say since the 1960s. I'm going to bring out a thing that happened or something that came up, and I'm not sure if I got the dates right, but Playboy. There came a thinking with that men could do what they wanted to do, enjoy what they wanted to enjoy without any responsibility. It was an attitude, and I'm going to say a spirit, that came into our North American thing. Boys will be boys. I'm sorry, but some people are 60, 70, and 80-year-old boys. We need men. We need men. And I'm going to stand and have before and say, I apologize for how the world has treated you, talked about you, and looked down on you. Who said Homer Simpson is a role model for men? And all the things that have risen up to take away from you. But it doesn't mean that we're not saying you can go and be and do anything you want. There is a biblical role model, and his name is Jesus. And he's calling you into maturity, all of us into maturity, to walk the way Jesus did. And we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. We have a new identity. The old is gone. The new has come. And I'm going to just wrap up by saying, so we have that visual image. Paul goes on and takes that very same thing into children. Honor your parents. Children, honor your parents. But it also says this. I want to let you to hear this. Fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Paul talks about then, modern day, I'm going to say boss employer. Don't be a jerk employer and don't be a jerk employee. If you're a Christian as an employer, be the best. And as an employee, be the best. All unto the Lord. Remember, we're a part of the body of Christ. And this is a hard one. It's about maturing. It's about walking the walk. Sorry, I didn't click ahead. We're a part of his bride. And we want to represent his bride to the earth in all its beauty and glory because he dwells in us. Amen? Walk on sunshine. Walk with the sun. And remember who you are. And remember the maturity that he's calling you to. Amen? Let's stand up and we'll pray before we head out. And then you've got the last, next week, remember we have guest speakers, and then we'll finish up Ephesians after that. The last W. See if you can figure out what it'll be. Father, we come before you and we rejoice because we are walking in sunshine. We're walking in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are new creations. We are part of that royal priesthood, the family of God, sons and daughters lavished in the love of God. We thank you. We've been adopted in. And we thank you for all the privilege that comes with that. But God, we ask to help us walk responsibly and in maturity with all you've given us. Walk that way to one another and to those outside who do not know you yet. And I say yet because we are going to show them the glorious, glorious sun through our lives. And through our words. Bless each and every one of us here this morning. And as been prayed, Holy Spirit, let it go deep into our hearts. Let it be established that it will overflow into our daily lives. We give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of our precious, precious Savior. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, we all say, amen. Amen. So be it.